Several of you have written me, and I really appreciate this, your concern that the reason I'm broadcasting from my car is because I was kicked out of the laundry room. I assure you that's not the case. The laundry room is still my home. I still love the laundry room. The laundry room is a gift to me from God. I'm in the car because I choose to be in the car. It's a change of pace for you and for me. And to quote a song from the 80s, was it by Gary Numan? Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Now, back to Philippians 1:29. Going to pick up where I left off on Friday, and I'm going to give you an elaboration that is going to comfort you, that these things you're going through are directly from God, part of the checklist to prepare you for your future job. Paul says, you are standing firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the faith of the evangel. Now, if you're doing this, if you're competing together in the faith of the evangel, that is, if you're relatively active in it, not saying you're standing on the street corner, you're on a soapbox, I'm not saying you're making yourself a nuisance to your family, but you talk about it when you're invited to. You may even look for an opportunity, or you might be sharing a book about the truth with a friend or a family member. Competing together in the faith of the evangel, or on the other hand, if you're competing strictly in the faith of the evangel, you're still believing it, which is monumental. Don't cut yourself short if you have faith. That's all I have, Martin. I just have a little bit of faith left. Congratulations. What did the widow bring to Christ in the temple treasury? It's called the widow's mite. She put a little tiny coin in there, and the disciples were a little embarrassed about it, and instead they pointed out to him the great sums of money that some of the more wealthy members of Israel brought to the coffers, and our Lord had to remind them that they gave out of their superfluity. They gave out of their extra. But this woman gave her last cent, and so her gift was the greatest. Some of you, I've been here, I've been in this place, you have like 1 cent of faith left, and you're embarrassed to present it to Christ. Don't be. Because you're giving the last thing you have. And if all you have left is a shred of faith, congratulations. This still applies to you, what I'm about to read. Paul follows, wants us to be competing together in the faith of the evangel and not being startled by those who are opposing. This word startle, I did not emphasize this enough on Friday. I'm going to do it right now. It's from a Greek word that means to be mentally confused by fear, mentally confused. Now, I will ask you this. Would you be startled if an atheist or a known God hater, a celebrated God hater, somebody who goes around wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus Christ is dead, would you be startled if such an individual opposed you in your faith, in your belief of the success of Christ, of the complete control of God over his universe, the reality of death, the necessity of resurrection? No, of course you wouldn't be. It would be what would be expected of people like that. The startling thing, the being startled aspect comes in when you are so excited about this truth that you've learned and you want to take it to people who, by all outward measures, should be excited about it. People who claim to want to hear about Christ. People who claim to want a great victory for Christ. People who claim to want a worldwide evangel that is going to save everybody. Then, when you tell them that this is exactly what's going to happen and that Jesus Christ has arranged for that, they hate you. That would startle you because the claim is they want Jesus to be successful. And when they find out that this is exactly what will happen, they're mad. They're mad because it belies their heart. It betrays them, shows them to be hypocrites. They don't really want it. They will talk a good game of grace. They will talk a good game of salvation, but they can't play that game. They can only talk it. Because when it comes right down to it, they want to be the exclusive possessors of this salvation. And so the result is that you're going to be absolutely startled. Many of you have tried to bring this truth to your pastor, and it's the greatest thing you've ever heard. God is really sovereign. God actually makes vessels of dishonor. And so you tell your pastor and you expect him to just throw in the towel and say, wow, all my formal education has led me astray. Here, I thought that humans had a free will. Comes out that God really is in control. That's fantastic. Would you take the pulpit next week? I'm stepping down. And you're startled when that doesn't happen. You're startled when instead you are opposed. You're opposed by the very people who claim to be friends of Jesus Christ and champions of the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all a front. It's all a Hollywood wall. And you find that out by the fact that you are opposed. Not by bringing lies, but by bringing the truth. You bring the truth and you're opposed. And the word I got excited about Friday is the same word I'm going to get excited about today. Paul says that that opposition is to them a proof of destruction. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Because you see, they have always been chosen ahead of time for destruction, for aeonian destruction. They've been appointed ahead of time to be vessels of dishonor. I'm talking about the pastors and like, but it has never been shown to the world what they are. Your presentation of the truth now presents a field for God to prove not only to you, but eventually to them, that they all along have been opposers of Jesus Christ, enemies of the cross. They have been whitewashed tombs the whole time. And I myself had a problem with that phrase, which is to them a proof of destruction. Their opposition of you is to them a proof of destruction. That doesn't happen in this life. I was looking for that to happen in this life. No, but their vocal opposition, you presenting the truth brings them out. It brings them out. They've never had an opportunity to show their true colors because they've always hidden behind this Hollywood wall, this false sheen of righteousness that their denomination has painted for them, that the outside of their church presents, and the tall steeple, the beautiful building, they hide behind that. But now you come presenting the truth, not just to the professional clergyman, but to your friends, to your family, they who read the Bible. Every day they read their 15 minutes of the Bible and they have everything figured out, except they don't know anything. And in their heart, they have this pride, again, that they chose Jesus. And then when you tell them the opposite, when you told them that, no, you didn't choose him, he chose you. No, you are a common lot with the rest of humanity. No, you have no righteousness in you with which to choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ invaded your world with faith and they hate you for it. Oh, then you tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity and they are offended by it. Offended by it. And they oppose it. I'm telling you this. That is proof of their destruction. And it's going to be proof to them. We're at the great white throne because these people are not saved. Because again, as I told you on Friday, Paul is setting in opposition here those who have been graciously granted faith and those who oppose. If Paul is setting these two in opposition to one another, it's the logical conclusion then that those who are opposing have not been graciously granted to believe, therefore they're unbelievers. Now, it's proof of their destruction, yet of your salvation. This is the aspect that I didn't emphasize on Friday. I'm emphasizing it today. The same conflict that you have and the same painful experience you have of presenting truth to people who reject it. It's proof of two things. It's proof of the opposer's destruction, and it's proof of your salvation. And this from God. I didn't emphasize this either. And this from God. God has pushed you into this situation where you present the truth, just like Jesus did, and just like Paul did, and just like the prophets did, and just like Moses did. You're in a line of fine, fine people who presented the truth in a world that's 49.99% religious unbelievers and 49.99% worldly unbelievers, clowns and jokers. You are set forth among the wolves, the apparent wolves, and the wolves that are dressed as sheep. And you and your little voice, you're like Jesus at the Praetorium, speaking humbly and mildly, but testifying to the truth in front of the great leader of Rome, Pontius Pilate, and the great priests of Israel, Caiaphas and Annas. And you are ridiculed, you're put down, you're called stupid, you're called a sheep yourself. Oh, you guys are just following some radical teacher. Yeah, we're following Paul. But this is proof of your salvation. The fact that you're being opposed. That's right. Opposition is great. That's why it says, and this from God. This opposition has come from God. And this from God. What? The opposition. This is from God. To prove, not only to you, but to the celestials. Remember, this is important. Paul says, we are a theater to messengers, and you are a theater to messengers. And the fact that you're being opposed, that's good news. This is from God. That's good news for you. You are scoring points because it is gracious. And Paul continues. Look at this. It is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. It's graciously granted to you to be suffering. Therefore, this opposition becomes a twofold proof. Twofold. Proof of the destruction of the opposers and proof of the of your salvation, because you have been counted worthy to suffer evil at the hands of the robed and the pious and the smug and the arrogant and the self-assured, those who would adjure you by the living God. That's what the high priest said to Christ. We adjure you by the living God. Are you the Christ? He answered in the affirmative. What further need do we have of witnesses? This man is blasphemed, and they call you a blasphemer. You are in good company, my fellow believers. You're in the company of Moses, of the prophets, of Christ, of Paul, of Stephen, of John, Peter. You're in great company. All those who have suffered the opposition, and Paul doesn't want you to be, and I don't want you to be startled by this. Yet many people write me in shock. Martin, wow, I gave this to my pastor, and I thought he'd be so excited about it, he hated it. I gave it to my sister, who claims to be a Christian, and she won't talk to me anymore. Don't worry about it. It's all going to come out at the great white throne, because now, see, God saves this. There's a function on the Apple computer. It's Control-Alt-4. And you hit Control-Alt-4, and then you drag any photograph or any screenshot, and it saves it. Well, God Control-Alt-4 every single bit of opposition that you have suffered. It's not forgotten. He Control-Alt-4 it. He puts it in a folder called Opposition to Martin Zender, or insert your name here, Opposition to Phyllis, Opposition to Sharon, Opposition to Bert, Opposition to Kelly, Opposition to Matt. Puts it in a folder and presents it at either the dais of Christ for your sake, or at the great white throne for the sake of those who oppose you. And they will say, Lord, Lord. The Lord's going to say to them, you never loved the truth. In fact, you hated the truth. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord. This is at the great white throne. They've already missed the 1,000 years of peace because they are unbelievers, albeit the religious variety. And the Lord will say, you had no love of the truth. And they will say, Lord, when did we have no love of the truth? And the Lord's going to open up the folder. And this person has their own folder. He's going to bring out the control command. Is it control command? It might be control command on the Apple, not control alt. Did I say control alt? It might be control command 4 on the Apple. He's going to bring up these screen saved events and going to show these events to those people. And they're going to look down and shake their heads and they're going to say, that was the truth, wasn't it? And God's going to say, yep. And they're going to say, whoops. And God's going to say, yep. And there will be a moment of reckoning. It's Exhibit A, and Exhibit B, and Exhibit C, and Exhibit D. It's proof. That's why you should not only not be startled, you should be happy about it. It's hard to be happy about it while it's happening. I understand that. But this will make it easier for you. Every time you suffer in this way, number one, it's graciously granted to you. Number two, God is control command foring it. Whether God has an Apple or he's using a Windows computer, I don't know. I don't know what if he's using Windows or if he's using a Mac. I don't know what he uses. Depending on what he uses, he's saving it all. And it's Exhibit A, B, C, D, and E. It's proof for them of destruction, for you of salvation. I have a little bit of time left. I wanted to get into this. I wanted to go to Romans 10. And I didn't realize this completely until I did my study in Romans. I can't hardly see my time thing here. Okay. And that is confessing Christ's name, avowing his name. For the scripture is saying, I'm in Romans 10:11. Let's start here. Let's start Romans 10:8. Near you is the declaration, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the declaration of faith, which we are heralding. That if ever you should be avowing with your mouth the declaration that Jesus is Lord, and should be believing in your heart that God rouses it from among the dead, you shall be being saved. This declaration of the mouth is evidence of something that has happened in the heart. It is not a requirement of salvation. It is proof. We were talking about proof earlier. I find that the number one proof that somebody really gets this, and it's not feigned faith, is the fact that they can't shut up about it. And they start telling other people about it. They start taking a chance. Well, they can't help it. It bubbles over in them. It's the opposite of just giving it lip service. Lip service without vocal cord service, you know? And it's the actual saying of it, the actual sharing of it, prove that it's real. Because as soon as you announce this thing, you are setting yourself up for opposition. For scripture is saying, verse 11, everyone who is believing on him shall not be disgraced. And even if you're suffering disgrace from this opposition, you won't be ultimately disgraced, because God remembers all this, and you're going to find glory in your suffering. You're going to find strength in your weakness. You're going to find a reward. You're going to find gold sown into these storm clouds. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same one is Lord of all, being rich for all who are invoking him. He's rich. He's loaded. He's got lots of money. He's got lots of glory. And he can't wait to dispense it. He can't wait to give it out at the dais of Christ to those who it has been graciously granted to suffer for his sake. How do you suffer? By speaking the word. Be bold. Be bold, ladies and gentlemen. Your work and your words in Christ are never forgotten.